Hey, everybody, this is Dominique, and if you're ready to do more with your life and money, I want you to stay tuned. Today, we're going to be talking about Bitcoin, blockchain, and cryptocurrencies. I want to give you the framework for the right questions to ask, especially if you're thinking about investing. So stay tuned.
Are you tired of feeling like there's more to life that you're just not experiencing? Are you unmotivated by keeping up with the status quo? Are you ready to start living intentionally with your finances and creating the life you want? Get ready for Experiencing Financial Contentment with Dominique Henderson, a podcast focused on helping you create margin for the life you want to live by putting your money where your heart is. Each week, Dominique will help you explore the decisions you make around money so that you can achieve better results. Now, here's your host, Dominique Henderson.
Hello, and we're back. This is Dominique Henderson, owner and founder of DJH Capital Management, where we're helping our clients achieve their ideal financial outcome. And I have with me today...
What do you have with you today?
The Queen Bee. Miss Brianna Henderson is back with us on the podcast.
Hey,
welcome back,
babe. Thank you for welcoming me back. I'm excited to be here with you. This was kind of a good turnaround. Not too long ago I was with you, so must be a good thing.
We might be getting people used to something that I can't keep up.
Hey, well, what shall we say? Yeah. So no, but I'm happy to be here.
Well, today, as always, on Experiencing Financial Contentment, what we're doing is helping you do more with your money. I think the best way that I've ever heard financial contentment described is putting your money where your heart is.
Yeah.
And so being able to funnel all your resources, financial or whatnot, behind a passion that allows you to live a life of meaning and purpose.
That's it.
Today, though, we're going to be talking about Bitcoin and blockchain and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
I'm pretty excited about it because... Excuse me. I look at myself as a layman in your world. That is definitely your gift and your passion that drives you to know any and all things financial. So I kind of look at this as if you, as the expert, if you can share. No, you're definitely the expert. If you can share information with me and cause me to have a working knowledge of
Dinner party talk.
That's it.
Yeah.
Then I'm sure your listeners can benefit from our discussion as well.
Well, in just full transparency, Bree, I think what I've been knowing about blockchain technology for some time, actually,
sure.
Probably a few years. I never had any real impetus to go after more knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was really primarily kind of brought on by social media conversations.
Sure,
people were asking me questions and.
Yeah.
As a student of the market and a servant of my clients, I just kind of felt the responsibility to go a little deeper, take my knowledge where I was to something, you know, worthy of being able to give recommendations or considerations and things like that. So I'm actually honored by the fact that people look at me in a position of trust.
Yeah.
So that, you know, they would be willing to say, hey, Dominique, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what this is about.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
I think let's dive in. First of all, let me give all my financial disclaimers for whenever I do investment podcasts, which is the fact that none of this is going to be anything but informational in purposes.
Okay.
So if you have an investment portfolio, I'm not giving advice for you to go implement this right away. You need to sit down with a qualified professional and make sure that this makes sense for you. Okay. So with that out the way, I think the way I want to kind of structure this, Bree, is let's break this up into like really three segments and just kind of have a talk about it.
Sure.
And we would have to definitely talk about how value is exchanged and has been exchanged in the past.
Okay.
And what the implications are of something like blockchain or Bitcoin with that whole proposition.
Okay.
And then we can kind of get a little bit into Bitcoin and blockchain and what it is. I don't want to park too much on that because there's YouTube and Google and all kinds of stuff out there
Absolutely.
For people to go consume. I think, you know, primarily, and this would be the third segment, is people were, you know, kind of saying, Dominique, this is an investment decision that I'm faced with right now.
Yeah.
I know you're in the markets. Like, is this something that I should do?
Gotcha.
So I want to definitely answer that question.
Okay.
So if you think about how value has been exchanged over all our existence as humans, Right. The bartering is probably the best example that I can think of.
Definitely.
Where I brought my, you know, 2, 3, 4 sheep to you and said, hey, will you give me this piece of land for this sheep or whatever it was? You know, the essentially value had to be exchanged.
Yeah. Yeah.
And bartering was cool because you could see my sheep. You can expect them. You can make sure that they weren't dying. Oh, this is the kind of
it's
stuff.
It's important that they weren't dying.
But, you know, once my sheep left me, yeah. I could not, you know, give my sheep to somebody else, no. Those same sheep. Okay. I would have to, you know, basically go do something else. Like that value hasn't been exchanged. And so in that sense, that was a very easy way to transact.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
There was no need for a middleman per se.
Okay.
But as things have, let's fast forward, as things have gotten progressively more complex.
Okay.
And us doing business across the globe, I couldn't okay. definitely throw my sheep across the
sure,
globe.
Sure.
Or my money for that matter.
Okay.
We had to put somebody in the middle as a trust agent to okay. verify with an arm's length transaction that the value you were giving me for whatever I was about to give you okay. was adequate.
Okay. Okay. So when I hear everything that you've just said, because remember, I'm trying to have some type of working knowledge
yes.
here. So
we're building the foundation.
Yeah. Here. We got to build that foundation. Yeah. So bartering
yep.
between company to company, person to person, business to business was geographically the proximity there allowed for bartering to take place at
yes,
that level.
Largely.
There was no need for a person to be in the middle. As we transact now across the globe, as you just mentioned, across, you know, we're not seeing the value of whatever it is we're trying to transact. Now we need that middle person.
Yeah.
And you're right. That's where our society is today.
Yeah. And I think one other thing to bring out with that, that yeah. in this first segment is that with the trust agent, with
okay.
the person in the middle, the intermediary,
yes.
the whole industry has been built on the extraction of fees and rents for them to play that part.
Sure, because they're not doing that for free.
No, they're not.
Okay.
They're
okay,
not, right?
Okay,
so
okay.
so your bank holds your money
yeah.
and communicates with my bank.
Yes.
When we do a transaction, you know, that a lot of people don't know all that behind the scenes and we don't have to get into that, but that's what happens.
Yeah.
And messages are sent back
yeah.
and forth. And so they charge for that.
Okay.
And I think the implication, with the blockchain is that there will no longer be a need for all the services that the middleman serves.
Gotcha.
Okay. They will okay. largely change, if not go away, over a set period of time,
okay.
the more and more blockchain has been being implemented. So let's talk about what blockchain is. Blockchain is essentially a decentralized ledger
okay.
in which transactions are recorded. So value transactions that happen between me, sheep, you know, for
okay.
instance,
okay.
All those are recorded on an open ledger. Now, I think the best way to kind of think about this, because people start thinking about privacy and security and things like that, and before you even get there, since we're using cryptography,
yes.
military-grade cryptography, which has been around for a few decades,
okay.
the level of exposure of sensitive information, like your date of birth and your social security number and all
yes.
that kind of stuff like that, is minimal. It's whatever I want to be exposed based on the transaction, based on the blockchain.
Okay.
And typically, it's not a lot.
Okay.
The only thing that can really be seen is the fact that we exchange value on said date at said time.
Okay.
And this was the amount.
Okay.
Your identities are withheld. They're virtually anonymous, or what they call pseudonymous. So I could either have a pseudonym that I go by or whatever. You
right.
don't know
Some
it's
type
me.
Of alias kind
yes.
of thing.
You don't
okay.
know it's
okay.
me.
Okay. Okay.
So that is the that those are some of the inherent characteristics of the blockchain. And so, like, just back up just a little bit more. So, you know, one of the things about the banks as trusted agents
sure.
is that they hold all your pertinent information and my information on a centralized database that is subject to, you know, attack and viruses, malware, all kinds of things
sure,
like that.
Sure, sure.
Whereas the blockchain with this open ledger, you know, the collective computing power of all the computers that are using blockchain that have downloaded the software and that have the open ledger are what is holding the information, if you will.
Okay.
So it's not in a central location.
Okay.
It's not even
okay.
necessarily in the cloud, so to
okay.
speak, because
okay.
clouds is just a data center.
Okay.
It's It's distributed across all computers. There's no central location. And I know sometimes that's hard for people to get their head around.
Right, because I'm thinking, when I think about blockchain, I'm thinking, is it some type of software? Is it, you know what it is? Is it a brick and mortar place? But I mean, there's...
Blockchain is a way to record transactions.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
And it's not centralized. That's the best way to say it.
Gotcha.
And it works much like Napster.
Okay.
Where the collective power of people that have the Napster software,
okay,
and that are willing to share their files through the Napster software,
sure,
I can go access all their files, whether it be music, whether it be software, whatever it is. I can download Thriller off of their Napster.
Yeah, and he is a Michael Jackson.
I am a Michael Jackson fan. So, but that was like the kind of the power of what is called a peer-to-peer network, and that's how blockchain works.
Okay.
Peer-to-peer. You want to make a transaction with me? You don't need somebody in the middle. We do it peer-to-peer, just like I exchange Napster songs peer-to-peer.
Okay. And by the way, that of course, was illegal. Something was
Yes, that was illegal.
Okay.
So the use case...
But it gives you the way of analogous to what we're talking about when
exactly.
we talk about a peer-to-peer
exactly.
Interaction. Okay, so then we look at blockchain, and we understand that it's this ledger,
yep.
and it can be shared across the network of anyone who has blockchain accessibility and all of that
yeah.
type
all
of
you need
thing.
Is a PC and
all
download.
All you need
yeah.
is a PC, yep. and so and there we go. We're able to transact. So what do we transact?
You can transact something like Bitcoin, which is a cryptocurrency, and that's one of many.
Okay.
But
okay.
since it's the oldest and the one that's been around the longest,
okay.
let's talk about the Bitcoin blockchain
gotcha.
Ledger.
Yes. Okay.
And so when I want to exchange value, I could pull out a $20 bill and give that to you for $20 worth of goods.
Okay. Yes.
The uniqueness, and I want to use this example because it kind of explains how Bitcoin works essentially. When I give you a $20 bill, I cannot successfully, in most instances, make a copy of that $20 bill and spend it in several different locations.
Right.
Once I give it to you, you have it. I no longer have it.
Right.
Same with Bitcoin.
Okay.
The bearer of that $20 is the owner of that $20.
Okay.
Right. So within the Bitcoin blockchain, I take my Bitcoin in my ledger.
Okay.
And I transact them to you via smartphone. Like right now, I have my Bitcoin wallet and you have your Bitcoin wallet.
Okay.
And so I would, theoretically spin Bitcoin out of my wallet.
Okay. So how do I then get Bitcoin? I understand how
you got to go to an exchange and buy some right now.
I gotcha. Or
I guess there's the instance, and we won't get way into this, but you can be a Bitcoin miner.
Okay.
And you can solve the complex mathematical equations
yes.
to get Bitcoin rewarded. That's a reward for you as you solve these
wow.
equations. Yeah, like that. It gets into
okay.
it. Like so
okay.
there's a set amount of Bitcoin that are going to be issued and people can actually solve these equations
sure.
and they get Bitcoin from
okay.
them.
Okay.
But if we're just thinking about how Bitcoin is transacted, it's either bought as an asset.
Okay.
Or it's exchanged as a means of value for people that accept Bitcoin. So you go to the store and that merchant accepts Bitcoin. You can use it for economic activity. So let's use those two use cases.
Okay. So we're talking about commerce.
Yep.
Where we can go transact at
yep.
Albertsons. If I had Bitcoin and Albertsons
accepted Bitcoin,
then we could do that.
Yep.
Or
if I bought it as an investment.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So let's park on the commerce,
okay.
the commercial activity part
it.
Of it. So I would essentially no longer need, so let's kind of explain how a transaction works.
Okay. Yes.
And as opposed to Bitcoin, and maybe that'll help people.
Okay.
So when I go or you go to Albertsons to buy milk, there's an Albertsons right down the street from us guys. That's contextually. I can go to Target if you want.
Sure.
So we go to Target and we buy some milk or groceries and we get to the teller. And we swipe our Visa card. What is actually happening behind the scenes, if you don't know, is that little computer is sending a message to your bank to
your
say, there needs to be $20 available to pay for these groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And that message is sent to your bank. And then in 2 or 3 days, the money is debited out of your account, removed from your account, and sent to Albertson's account.
Right, right.
Or Target's account, whatever.
Yeah.
And that transaction has a small amount of friction.
Okay.
It takes 2 or 3 days for them to get their money, although you leave out of the store with your groceries that day.
Sure.
With Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency that has its own blockchain, when you swipe your card or whatever mechanism you use to extract Bitcoin out of your wallet, that money gets put directly in their coffer or their account, their side of the ledger, immediately.
Okay.
There's no need for a bank because, again, we have a peer-to-peer transaction going on with no need for an intermediary.
Okay.
And so that would be a frictionless transaction, theoretically. It would happen pretty instantaneously.
Okay. So, Dominique, then is that something, for instance, I don't currently have a ledger with Bitcoin in it. I mean,
no,
so
you would have to, somebody would have to go to an exchange and open up a Bitcoin wallet right now is the primary, source case, I guess. Okay. And you would exchange, you would take some of your dollars that you have right now and you would buy whatever amount of Bitcoin you can with those dollars.
So is that something that you see being the commerce side of Bitcoin? Is that activity something that you see a lot of or
no? To be just quite honest, no. Okay. So the commercial activity for purchasing goods for Bitcoin is a fraction of what, like, people use PayPal. So people use PayPal to buy goods and services. Bitcoin transactions are a fraction of that.
Gotcha.
And PayPal transactions are a fraction of, like, Visa, MasterCard, and American Express. So it's a very small piece of the pie.
Okay, so then what that's telling me is Bitcoin is actually used or has primarily been used more so on the investment side.
More so as a means of, let's call it, trading.
Trading. Okay.
I was about to say speculative trading, but that's my opinion. So trading.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So you buy Bitcoin.
Yes.
And let's go back to the same thing. You go buy it at an exchange.
Okay.
You open up an exchange account, get a Bitcoin wallet, take your dollars, buy an equivalent amount of Bitcoin, and you leave it in that account and you wait for it to go up.
Gotcha.
Essentially.
Okay.
That's what you're waiting for it to do.
Okay.
Is go
okay.
up.
Okay.
So now I guess we've kind of skipped into how to invest in it. So that's what you would do. That's one way you would do it. You would open it up a Bitcoin wallet and deposit or exchange your dollars for Bitcoin and hold them in the wallet.
Okay. Okay. So to clear up, because we want to make sure that we finished up with the second segment, which was what blockchain is, what Bitcoin is. So as a layman, I'm hearing blockchain is the vehicle with which Bitcoin is a currency on. Blockchain is...
And before you say currency, because like...
Air quotes currency?
Yeah, air quotes. Like, because when I think currency, I think about dollars and euros and things that are more standardized.
Okay.
It's really a digital asset.
Okay, a digital asset.
And by digital asset, we mean some way to exchange value besides using dollars.
Okay, okay.
So,
okay. But hopefully, I just want to make sure that we're clear on what blockchain is.
Yep.
And then what Bitcoin is and how...
Blockchain is the record source, is the record keeping source, is the ledger to record all the transactions.
Okay.
Bitcoin is a means of exchanging value on the ledger.
Okay. Gotcha.
You can interchange Bitcoin with Litecoin or Bitgold or any of the other cryptocurrencies that are out there.
Okay.
Because they all have their own blockchain. And we're not going to even get into this, but there's another different type of currency called Ethereum that has its own blockchain.
Wow.
You know, the inventor of Bitcoin, one of the inventors of Bitcoin decided that, and this is just a history side note, that the uses of Bitcoin weren't being fully utilized, so he started his own.
Wow. And he could just do that. That's fascinating.
So he started his own.
Okay. So, segment two, we cleared that up.
Yes.
What
hopefully.
Blockchain is, I think so.
Okay.
Blockchain is, and then what Bitcoin is.
Yes.
Investment.
Yeah. So let's just set ground rules for investment. I'm kind of old school when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe some people disagree, but I kind of feel that all my investors need to have a couple criteria, three. The first is, and not in any priority necessarily, but one of them is I should not invest any more than I can afford to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Simply put.
Wow.
I should also look for investments in where I can get more return than what I risked. It's called asymmetrical return.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And I should
with investments, can you really determine that?
Some investments you can.
Okay.
And so that's the subject of another podcast, I guess.
Sure.
But thank you for that idea.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Let's do it.
And then I think the other one is I look for my investments to have both intrinsic value and market price. Market price, look at it as the sticker price.
Okay.
What you pay for it.
Okay.
Intrinsic value, what is it worth? Those are not always the same.
Okay.
And so if I can buy something for less than it's worth, pay for it less than at a bargain,
yes.
at a discount,
yes.
then I have something of value that I can probably sell later and realize
the
some
difference.
Of that. Yeah, realize the difference.
Yes.
So that's kind of what I look for with investments. So going back to your original question, should you invest in it? Does it meet those criteria?
Yeah.
And that's a personal question, right?
Yeah.
If you cannot afford to lose the money that you could possibly lose with any investment, including Bitcoin, then you shouldn't do it.
You shouldn't. Okay.
If it's going to impair your economic situation, you won't be able to pay a bill or you won't be able to send your kids to college or whatever,
then don't
do it. But if you can, then there are some ways to do that. And so let's go through that.
Yeah, let's look at it.
So one of the more intriguing ways, there's essentially, I guess, three ways that we'll kind of sum this up in. You can invest in the companies that are leading the charge with blockchain and or cryptography or cryptocurrency technology. You can definitely invest in those guys, and we'll talk about that in just a second. You can invest in the actual cryptocurrency directly.
Or there were several that you just mentioned.
Yes.
Okay.
Or you could use an exchange-traded fund or a mutual fund mechanism or any type of what they're called initial coin offerings, where basically everybody pools their money together like a crowdfunding. Think about GoFundMe, but instead of GoFundMe paying for a homeless person, it's paying for all the uses for building another technology, a blockchain technology like Brianna Coin or Dominique Coin.
I like that.
Which one do you like more?
All right.
So those are the three ways. Now, let's kind of maybe flesh out the pros and cons of each.
Okay.
So for me, if I am investing in a company that has a competitive advantage by incorporating the blockchain technology and maybe reducing expenses and increasing revenues or increasing profits that they can return to me, the shareholder, then it behooves me to go buy shares of them.
Okay.
How quickly I realize that, you know, that gain, I don't know. I'm more of a long-term investor, so I'm in it for the long haul.
Yeah,
I think that's by far probably the safest way to do it. And there are some companies out there. I mean, I can name a couple, but like for instance, Chain, which is a Silicon Valley company, is partnering with NASDAQ for the blockchain technology evolution. They're basically coming up with ways to kind of do smart contracts, which, I mean, this would revolutionize the way we buy real estate and things like that. So that's one way. And there's other companies and other consortiums.
Sure.
If I want to invest, going to the second way, if I want to invest directly in the digital currency itself, like Bitcoin, really it's an asset class. I mean, not a lot of people are going around buying dollars or euros as an investment necessarily. They're primarily doing that as a way to buy things like exchange value and conduct commerce and economic activity.
Okay.
But, you know, so Bitcoin as an asset class is the way I would look at it. And you would look to buy it low, whatever that is, and sell it high.
Okay.
Now, determine that is kind of a little out there because
so
really.
That just kind of just reminds me in my understanding of the market. And of course, that is the hope that you buy something low, whatever low is at the time, and hope that it increases in value. And at some point you get out of that thing and you've made money with it or whatever, just hoping that it continues to go up, which is a lot of the ways that people are using Bitcoin as an investment.
You said hope a lot.
Because there are risks associated with it, and we have to, even I understand and know that.
There's a lot of hope there, man.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it kind of goes back, Dominique, to what you were saying about your affordability.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you, knowing your finances, your situation,
if you want to make a bet with 1% or less of your net worth or 5 or 10% of it, depending on what your situation is, then go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it. By all means, it should be, I mean, you should come to a logical conclusion about how you how much you're going
to
invest.
Yeah, yeah. Look into it. Talk to people.
But I would say that it doesn't need to be probably any more than, you know, probably 5% of your net worth at this point, just because it's only been around for 10 years.
Okay. Okay.
Barely. And there's not a large sample size to determine whether or not it's going to go where it's going to go. So,
right,
I mean,
right, right.
Just, you know, a little bit of caution.
So, okay. So let me retract, because here again, I'm wanting to get a working knowledge of this. And so I know that the ways that you can in some kind of way invest or make sure that you are participating in this whole thing is through companies who are really on the cusp of understanding and advancing that blockchain technology, or investing in Bitcoin as a portfolio, like in your portfolio, buying
as an
low,
asset,
as an asset, buying low, selling high kind of thing, or the other crypto.
Yeah. So you, the last one is, so there are a couple of exchange traded funds.
Yes.
Think about mutual funds.
Okay.
That have basically, what's essentially happened is they've taken their capital to buy a bunch of, do a bunch of number ones. And you can go buy that exchange traded fund that allows you to buy the Bitcoin exchange traded fund.
Okay.
I think it's GTBC. I can't think of the ticker symbol off the top of my head.
Okay.
But that's one way you can do it. And similar to that, there are, blockchain technology is so revolutionizing the way we do business in our world that people are coming up with their own blockchain assets, digital assets, like Bitcoin, like Litecoin, like BitGold, like Ethereum. So these typically are being funded by, they used to, you know, the old way to do this was to go to pitch your idea to a set of investors.
Right.
And they give you the money and you go buy all the equipment and all the stuff, the technology, and then eventually they will get a piece of the pie when that technology takes off. Well, because of the way that you can do things now with like crowdfunding and GoFundMe and all this kind of stuff like that, people are doing initial coin offerings through that mechanism. And so, I mean, there's been instances where like in 2-3 weeks span, people have raised like $50 million, $25 million,
that
$70 million
crazy.
To start their own Brianna coin or Dominique coin.
Yeah.
So you just gotta, you know, those are going to come with prospectuses that you should read through.
Sure.
Making sure that, you know, what they're doing, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's the more, that to me, that's even more risky than just going to buy the currency itself.
Okay. So Dominique, to wrap it all up, I mean, to try and wrap this thing up.
Yeah.
So when I think of blockchain, think of Bitcoin, think of the other currencies.
Yeah.
I understand that number one, if I'm looking at it from an investment point of view, if I'm asking, should I invest in this? You know, is it a trend? Is it a fad? You know, what hasn't been a trend or a fad kind of thing? What, you know, what hasn't started? But
tulip mania, dot-com bubble, marijuana stocks.
Marijuana stocks.
I can keep going.
Wow. People have made money on any or other of those things. Yeah. I mean,
people will make money off of this. No doubt. Don't make mistakes.
Sure.
Don't make the mistake of believing that money won't be made off of it. That's not the point.
Sure.
The point is whether or not you can afford to jump in, not knowing all the details and kind of riding on the hope that it will continue to go up so that you can make money.
Oh.
That's really the question.
There you go. But then that goes back to what you were saying earlier is if you can afford to do that.
Yeah. If you can afford to let that capital, because, you know, I guess there's the notion of, you know, is this going to be the next get rich quick? Is this like the lottery or?
Sure.
And I would say maybe.
Yeah.
We just don't know who's going to get caught holding the hot potato last.
I see.
Like, I wouldn't want to do that with capital that I need to use to go do something.
Right. Right.
You know, for real.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like going to Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, to take your Vegas money.
Sure.
Whatever that amount is.
$200.
Whatever. You know.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So hopefully. Okay. So to just kind of wrap it up.
Yeah.
Do we feel that we've given them? What
you know,
need?
Back. You got to know the concept of how value is exchanged, so you can know how this can potentially disrupt. So I mean, here's something to think about.
Okay.
And this is what I've been thinking about as a financial services professional.
Yeah.
You know, the old days of you and I needing an accountant or a bookkeeper to reconcile transactions?
Slowly but surely going away.
Why would you need that? If I have a peer-to-peer transaction in which I no longer get a bank statement to say that, you know, what the bank has versus what my checkbook has is correct.
Right.
Because that transaction happens like this. There is no delay in time. Like, what do I need an accounting company for? Another thing to think about is cross-border payments. If I'm an immigrant and I come over here and I work really hard and I start sending my dollars back home for my family to have pesos, Western Union charges me upward to 10% to do that. That's a lot of money.
Sure.
But if my relatives had a blockchain cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, whatever type of account, I can exchange value with my cell phone to their cell phone or however you want to do it without anybody in the middle like Western Union. And so what is called remittances, that business may largely go away.
Yeah.
I mean, because you got to think there's 3 billion people without access to 2 to 3 billion people in the world without access to financial services. And blockchain will give them access to financial services.
All they would need to have is
a smartphone. Pretty much. Which is a lot easier to get.
This goes so many different ways. You know what I mean? And so much to think about. I mean, my mind is, as you're speaking, I'm just churning. But we got to wrap it up, Dominique.
So there's a couple of, so I think the way that we're going to do this is if you have questions, by all means, feedback at djhendersonsr.com. You can also comment in the chain of this particular thread when we post this, and I will definitely try to get back to you. I'm working on a white paper, but I don't know that it's going to reveal too much more. It's going to be a lot of my own opinion. And if you want that, I'll make that available to you in the coming weeks.
And do you encourage them to do their own research? I mean, just
by all means. By all means, yeah. Adam Ludwin, Ludwin. He's a leading authority. There's many leading authorities. Alex and Don Tapscott, they wrote a book that I read. These are all good resources. If you just Google IBM blockchain, IBM is one of the big companies that are behind this. So there's plenty of information out there. Really a matter of like, where do I want to start type of thing.
Sure.
So hopefully that's been helpful for you. We thank you for listening and watching, and we'll see you back next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.